make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
And a very happy Football Wednesday to you. Let me be the first to wish you that. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. Right?
They were not complete. Their days were not complete yet until they were wished a happy Football Wednesday. Now we got that out of the way, though. That's
now they
good.
Have that. That's right. Big show, as we always do on Wednesdays. We turn the corner and start looking ahead to the weekend. And it's a big weekend to look ahead to. Browns, Steelers.
Steeler week,
and that's been the theme all week long that Rob Jedzinski's tried to establish, and we're certainly going to do that with this show, today's show in particular. Shortly, we are going to have a conversation with Solomon Wilcots. Yep, Solly will make yet another appearance on the show because he is yet again the analyst for CBS's coverage of the Browns. They've basically made him the Browns broadcaster for CBS, which I love to death because Solly does a great job, and this is yet another game he's doing. So we're going to get his thoughts shortly on the Browns, on this matchup, et cetera. You're going to hear from Mary Kay Cabot at the bottom of the hour. She covers the Browns for Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And you are also going to hear from T.J. Ward, our own Jameer Howerton, sitting down with him. We'll do that in hour number two. And also in hour number two, you'll hear from Gerard Cherry, the regular, the third wheel on this show. But joining us right now, maybe he should become one of the first wheels because he's on with us so much, is our great friend. He will be on the line shortly. All right. Well, before we get to Solomon Wilcots, Nathan, I'd say this. I'm feeling a little bit more in the mode of, you know, when you study the standings and you look around the entire the rest of the AFC, and I want you to just share the stat you just shared with me that brought even more encouragement. But I look at that, and I'm in the here and now. I'm not really at the place that says this team should be considered seriously as a wild card team. But it is entirely possible. Real quick on that thought.
It is absolutely entirely possible, and they need to get that to become even more possible. They're going to have to take care of business at home the next 2 weeks and get back to 6-6. That starts with beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. And joining us now on the hotline, the man who will be calling that game for CBS. I think Solomon just likes to call so many Browns games so he can come on CBD. He joins us now, the great Solomon Wilcots. What's up, Solomon?
Hey, guys, as you didn't hear, I'm a Cleveland resident now.
So. That's right. Good.
You're paying taxes in this area. Outstanding. Solly, thank you for sure for taking the time to be with us. And we need to start with this. That was such a bizarre game last week. At least the numbers shouldn't tell a story of a Browns loss, but they do. So as you studied it, and as you, and I know you know that Bengals team well, your former team that you played for, give me a sense of what your thoughts are and how this Browns team found a way to lose that game.
Well, it was in the areas of special teams. Obviously, the block punts, one return for a touchdown, the interception return for a touchdown, and then a fumble return for a touchdown. You've got 21 points being scored without your defense even being on the field. That just really has to irk you because you have the makings of a truly great defense, as I think we now have seen by this point in the season. This is a defense that you can build around, and they're not going to allow the score to get away from them, and they're going to keep you in ball games. But what you cannot do, as you well know, you cannot turn the ball over. Turnovers are the great equalizer, and in a game that you feel you should win, all you need to do is start turning it over, and it'll undermine any good performance from your football team.
Well, one of the great performances in that game that has been in some ways overshadowed by the unfortunate outcome for the Cleveland Browns was that of Joe Hayden. And Solomon, is there a cornerback in the NFL playing better than Joe Hayden right now?
Oh, no. No. There's no doubt. I mean, I talked to Joe about this when I left at their game in Baltimore. And I even week one, I saw from him as I watched him throughout the offseason and in preseason and then in the week one performance against Mike Wallace. I said, this kid's putting together, he's going to have a Pro Bowl season. I just saw it. I know he's at that point in his career where he expects it, and he's brought it every single week against the likes of a Calvin Johnson and A.J. Green and obviously a Mike Wallace. He's brung it every single week, and I love to see him have a game like last week because I thought it was that signature moment that every Pro Bowler needs en route to going to Hawaii. He punched the one-way ticket with that performance last week.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that, and it was tremendous, and it was, again, sad that you couldn't just focus on that as part of a winning effort because it just became the thing that you talked about, and it's always, you do that sheepishly after a 41-20 loss. Sally, let me ask you this, because we hyped that game up pretty heavily around here, and I thought rightfully so because of the magnitude. It was the most important game this team had played in years, and it had that feel that you just haven't had at this point in a season in a long, long time for the Browns. Does losing a game like that when you're so emotionally torqued up for it as a team, does losing that, how much does that take away, you think, from the rest of the season?
I think when you lose a game like that, it's how you lost it. It's how you lost a game like that that lets you know who and what you are. I think you look at moments in the game, you say, wow, defensively, we can play with these guys. We can, if the other areas of the team don't let us down, we're in that game. You got out to a 13-0 lead, so that tells you you can play with them, and you beat them earlier in the season, which also tells you you can play with them. And now you come away and say, okay, well, how do we lose the ball game? Well, I've already given you three factors in terms of touchdowns that were scored without the defense on the field, but I think the inability to run the football put undue pressure on Jason Campbell to have to throw the ball on what was an abnormally windy day, and the conditions were not ripe for throwing the football. Andy Dalton had only 93 yards passing. Now, I like to give the Cleveland Browns defense a lot of credit, but I don't think any defense is that good to hold them to 93 yards passing. The conditions were that bad, and I think it lent itself to errant passes by Campbell, and it led to the multiple turnovers as well.
Solomon, they take on the Steelers in a game that is, again, like last week in some ways for the Browns team. Really, this one now is kind of a win or kind of go home in terms of the wild card situation. They need to beat the Steelers this week. What's the biggest difference to you in what you've seen from the Pittsburgh Steelers, the team that started 0-4 and now sits at 4-6?
Yeah, they've won four of their last six ball games after that 0-4 start. They're using more than no huddle. I think they've abandoned any notions that they were going to be a ground-and-pound team and the Pittsburgh Steelers of old. And when you saw the Patriots throw the ball and gain almost over 600 yards total offense, I think they understand that they've got to be able to evolve that offense and to be able to be in a lot of shootouts. And actually, they have a quarterback who can do it. Ben is, he's great in the no-huddle. He's great at extending plays. He's as accurate as any quarterback in this league. And as physical as some of the younger guys who are running around making plays. Ben has won Super Bowls doing exactly that, and they had gotten away from that with their new offensive coordinator, Todd Haley, but I've seen them going back to that, and that's why they had a 97-yard drive with the game on the line last week against Detroit, and boy, did he deliver big time.
Yeah, he certainly did. Solomon Wilcots from CBS Sports, he will be on the call for Sunday's game, the TV call. You also can catch him on NFL Network, one of the very best in the business here. Solomon, as we talk about the Steelers defensively and what they're, you know, schematically what they're going to try to do, they've been, first of all, they've been banged up on that side of the ball quite a bit. And when you talk with people in Pittsburgh, the reason they question whether or not this team can sustain the recovery from the 0-4 start is that they are because of the fact that they have those injuries, and you see them, they're 26th in the league against the run, that they could have some vulnerability there. Do you see opportunities for the Browns to exploit some of those injuries that they've had?
Well, there is no doubt about it, Vic. These Steelers are on their last leg. And, you know, I'm a Dick LeBeau guy. I played for Dick, drafted me coming out of college. Ray Horton knows that defense. He knows the personnel. He knows Dick. He'll tell you that many of those guys have seen their better days. I think the Steeler game was a watershed moment. Not just the fact that they're 30 and over, but the fact that they can't run as well anymore on the back end of the defense. And I think Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron and Greg Little and Devon Beffs, I think they can have a big day. I think they can have a big day throwing the ball because no one runs on the Steelers. You do know that, right?
I heard about that.
No one runs on them. So you've got to have the splash plays in the passing game to steal a page from what the Patriots did. Spread them out and get them running. They can't run like they used to, so they're plays to be had.
Well, to do that, Josh Gordon's going to continue to need to play at the level that he has. He's averaging 94 yards per game this season, fourth in the NFL, four games of over 100 yards, but he can't do it himself, and I think that's what we're starting to see. Jordan Cameron, since Jason Campbell's taken over, has disappeared. Devon Bess and Greg Little, yes, they played well against Baltimore. Surprise, surprise, the Browns won that game. Last week were targeted 12 times, two catches, 7 yards. How can the Browns get these secondary guys more involved and more efficient and help Josh Gordon out, who really right now is carrying this passing team? This is a guy on pace for over 1,500 yards and 8 touchdowns in a full 16-game season.
One, pray that it's not a windy day on Sunday. Two, just you need offensive line to protect, because to me, this front seven for Pittsburgh can still wreak havoc. They can still cause you problems. They can still pressure your quarterback. But if there's great protection, if the offensive line can protect, which they could not do against the Bengals defense, if you don't protect quarterbacks, forget about who's running down the field, forget about getting it to that weapon or these other weapons. Those weapons are non-existent when the quarterback's running for his life. So you've got to protect Jason Campbell. If you protect them against this front seven for the Steelers, believe me, I say it again, there are plays to be had on the back end. And in that way, everyone will be able to make plays, just like you were able to do against Baltimore. But the protection has to come first.
Yeah, it does. And that, has been, I think, an issue of inconsistency for this Browns team from the very start. Some of it, we know, was Brandon Whedon and the slowness with which he got rid of the ball. You saw that. But we're dealing with a guy in Jason Campbell who I think has, we're sure, because it's been, there's statistical proof of this, that he's getting the ball out of his hands quicker, that he generally runs the offense at a faster pace. That said, though, I thought in this last game, he was a little too selective in trying to make maybe the perfect throws, looking for those windows, not trusting himself as much as he did against Baltimore, where he seemed to just kind of roll with things and be in a groove, and that was missing badly against the Bengals. Do you see that as much of a schematic thing that, okay, Mike Zimmer had two solid Browns games to look at with Campbell at quarterback and therefore could prepare accordingly? And is that going to be the additional dilemma now that Dick LeBeau has three Campbell Browns games to watch?
Yeah, there is some of that, and I think Jason continues to battle and be challenged by the need to get the ball out really quick, get rid of it. I also say that, you know, and he had the nice pass to Josh Gordon, had a big play to Josh. But the elements, the quarterback, they'll tell you, even Tom Brady talks about the win factor. He can play in the cold. He can play in the ice. He can play in the snow. No quarterback wants to play where the ball's going to move in the air. It's like throwing a curveball to home plate. And you start doing that against defenders, it can become problematic. And I know that was an element in terms of last week's game for both quarterbacks. But all those things you pointed out, Vic, are certainly a factor, certainly areas where Jason has to improve. And I'm sure those are going to be some of the things that they want to work on. How do we get the ball out quick? Even if we have to shorten our route, and if we run or make a double move on a corner, then the protection has to be able to hold up. So the quarterback's got to play better, but I think it really does start with protection, because that allows the quarterback to get a better feel for the game, and he could start to at least make more plays if he's playing from a clean pocket.
Solomon, I don't think there's any doubt that the Browns seem to be at least trending in the right direction, even if the record is maybe falling a little bit behind the performance on the field in many cases and certain elements of this team. What must they do to beat the Steelers, and how important do you think psychologically it is for this Browns team to, A, finish out the season and get ready for 2014, knowing that they've held their home field against every team in the division, which would be the case if they can't handle the Steelers this Sunday?
Well, first, let's step back. You know there are eight teams in the AFC who are either 5-5 or 4-6.
That's why they're still alive.
The Bengals have to run a gauntlet of San Diego. They got Baltimore. They've got Pittsburgh, and they've got the Indianapolis Colts. Now you throw Minnesota in there; it's not much, but they've got a murderer's row of 5 of their next 6 games. This division isn't won by any stretch of the imagination. And since Cleveland is split with Cincinnati, they can lay claim as much as, say, any of the other teams who are trying to catch the Bengals. So I just think if you play them, you win them, and you never know. Because I don't know that the Bengals are going to hold up against these next 6 games. If they go 3-3, then at best they're 10-6. So I really believe that they could be caught, but there's also a wild card berth out there as well. So I think Cleveland is playing for everything that they started off the season playing for. But that said, that ought to encourage many of the guys in the locker room who have not been playing in meaningful games at this point in the season during the previous years. If I'm in a Cleveland Brown uniform right now, I am so pumped and excited that we're going into Thanksgiving and we still got everything we ever wanted to accomplish right out in front of us. That to me is very exciting. Now that means they got to play good defense, continue to keep the score down, and they've got to be more consistent on offense. And it's difficult when you can't run the ball. They still enter this week with only one rushing touchdown, and that puts undue stress on the quarterback, Jason Campbell.
Solomon, tremendous stuff, as we always expect from you, and we look forward, of course, to your call on Sunday, and more important than that, seeing you when you come to town this weekend.
All righty. It's my second home now, so look forward to seeing you guys.
It is. By the way, there's a plaque on your chair. It's your chair. The other network people can't even sit in it. It's Solomon. Hey, it's Vic, got your name on it. So.
Hey, Vic, would I alarm you if I told you I'm coming back after Thanksgiving to call the Jacksonville game as well?
Awesome. I, you know what? I just consider that complete happiness from this standpoint because, in all seriousness, we love the analysis on Sunday, but especially when we get a chance to talk with you during the week and you're very gracious with your time. We appreciate that, my friend.
You're the best, my man. Take care.
All right. He is Solomon Wilcots. He is the best. Joins us here on CBD. We just get this thing started. How's that? We get that started with Solomon Wilcots. Not a bad way to kick it off.
Absolutely not. Get a little bit of Solomon's wisdom, as it were.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us at the bottom of the hour. Nathan and I will do some more breaking down and analysis of all this Browns stuff. That's what we do on the show. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and you are listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.